Father, that we, you can have your way with us, Father. Father, we can just submit, Father, and just let you reign in us, Father. Father, we can bear fruit, Father, that is worthy of praise, Father, for you, Father. Father, you are so good, Father. You are a strong tower, Father. You are a helper, Father, in need. You are our soul. You bring us salvation. You are a Savior, Father. Thank you, Father. We can, Father, we can just experience this today, Father. Help us, Father, to so that the words that we speak today, Father, just lands on good soil, Father, and just penetrates the heart, Father, for renewing of the mind, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Good morning. My name is Ruan Moka. For those who are new, I am not the pastor. I didn't wrestle him there at the back either to get his place here, so, but he sent me to come preach the word this morning. It is such a blessing and a privilege to stand in front of you this morning, and I hope truly that you'll see and that the word that I speak today is not from me, but it's from the Lord, and it really, really changes you in a life-giving way. So let me just start. You know, when Pastor Yaku asked me to preach this morning, I this is the first day in my life that I preach in front of a congregation, and it was a strange thing. Sorry, I am Afrikaans, so I will struggle a little bit with English sometimes. I don't know when to start, because where do you start? Because, you know, it will always be that you look back on your first one. And I just, the Lord just laid on my heart to start at the end. Which is a strange place to start, but you'll see where I'm coming from just now. Another thing, the problem with starting at the end for me is, because I knew exactly what the Lord was telling me, but the problem with that is that, I like facts and I like the doctrinal aspects of the Bible. I like Romans and Hebrews and stuff. You know, I love that, you know, where somebody asks you something and, you know, you can just quote it directly out of the Word. Fortunately, for me to start at the end, it will have to be in Psalms. Now, Psalms has never been my strong point because it's difficult for me. If you read five psalms in succession, then you're not really sure what was said where. You know, Romans 1 talks about this, and Romans 2 talks about that, and 3. But Psalms is a beautiful thing. It's very beautiful. But it, for my type of personality, it's difficult because I like to know exactly where things are. So yes, so we're going to start. Our first scripture is going to be in Psalms 1. For those that have Bibles, you can turn to the... It says in Psalms 1, very close to the middle of the Bible, it says that blessed is the man who has not walked in the counsel of the ungodly, and has not stood in the way of sinners, and has not sat in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is only in the law of God. And in his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. And its leaf shall not wither. And all which he does shall be blessed. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for God knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You know, it's a beautiful psalm, maybe because it's the first one and I can remember it the best. But the last couple of weeks we were talking a lot about the church and the body of Christ. And this first part of the psalm Psalms deals with that, with what it says that we do not sit in the council of the wicked. And for you being in church, you're already in the council of the saints. So it's a very beautiful thing, and it's a and Pastor Jaco spoke about it, and Norbert, and Mark. And if you'll let me, I'll also talk about it a little bit. But the amazing thing is now we're in this church, we planted here, and now what? And this amazing blessing, as the Lord says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruits in season, and his leaf shall not wither, and all which he does shall be blessed. You know, when I think about the tree and I think about it in the river, you know, I just have this very ideal, this vision of, you know, this peace and this serenity and, you know, the nice water, nice and fresh, and the birds singing. I wouldn't make the sounds the birds make, but, you know, they do make nice sounds. You know, and just the peace, you know, just that peace. The amazing thing about the Word is, though, is that it's not always what the Lord says in the words, but it's what He purposefully leaves out that sometimes blows our mind. If you just, obviously, if you just take the time to look, and if you will have grace with me, and I'm gonna try and look at that. So, this tree standing next to the water, our first question should be, how did it get there? How did this tree get there? You know, the first thing that I could think of is that the seed fell from another tree. One tree had fruit and got ripe and it fell down and a new tree came up. And those all of us who are blessed to be able to come out of a family where your parents serve the Lord. Blessed out of a family which your parents and your grandparents and the whole extended family serves the Lord. And that's an amazing place. But there's another way. And the other way is that animals carry it there. Some of us come to the Lord after being eaten up by the world. You know, some of us come to the Lord after we've been broken and eaten and beaten. And then we get planted. The third way I could think of is that the tree could have been taken there by the river itself. And that is of some of us who the Lord said, you know, you are in this place and you come from this family, or you've been eaten up by the world, or you are just, you know, we're at the moment, but I'm going to take you, I'm going to lead you, I'm going to let you, almost like Moses on the river, I'm going to take you where I want you, I'm going to plant you where I want you. So some of us, it's not easy, you know. I remember when I came to Swakop. I'm actually from Kimberley in the Northern Cape, and there, the biggest hole that you've ever dug with your hands, that is where Kimberley is. Grootste gat in die wêreld. Amazing place. You know, I got here, because in Kimberley is a relatively smallish town, and you know, growing up there, you know a lot of people. You know, if I would go to the stores and buy bread or milk, it would take 45 minutes. At least, you know, because I walk into Tani Adri, and you know, and I'm asking, how's the son? You know, it's a rugby song, we played rugby together, and, or, you know, you'll meet somebody, you did some other activity, or, you know, cousins and family, and, you know, it's just a cheerful type of scenario to go buy bread and milk, because there's always somebody that you know. When I moved to Swakop, you know, I didn't know anybody. I literally, everything I owned, I threw in the back of my bucket. It had a, what they call, what is it in English, a tenio cover. You know, that black thing. Yeah. And I could put everything I owned in the back of the bucket. So much so that nothing pressed up against that cover. everything I own. Nobody could even see that it was everything I owned because they thought there was nothing in there. I moved, I stayed like 3 buildings away from Woermanbrock in town, and I remember thinking to myself, okay, I am alone, I am a bit hungry, I'm going to go buy bread and milk, but I'm going to walk. You know, so that it kills a bit of time. Because I'm only sitting at home, knowing I don't know anybody. And it literally would take me 10 to 12 minutes. It was horrible for me. You know, and so, but the Lord took me in this river and took me and He planted me here. So, sometimes the way we are is the way we got here. Sometimes we perceive that, you know, I've been eaten up by animals, so this is how I am. And I was also like that. The Lord took me through deep waters, and it leads me to our next part of the story. And the next part of the story is, what tree is it? So the story I'm going to tell you is, hopefully you can find something in you that you can relate to it. I was the angriest tree in town. I had shade. I gave shade. But I felt the Lord cut me down to size. You know, I felt the Lord took this self-image of mine and He distorted and I was angry. You know, that's time the Lord took me into with this river and He planted me somewhere, but I didn't really know it was Him. I was angry. I was the angriest tree in town. I wasn't just angry, but I had the second picture there in John. I had those. So I was a nice guy, but don't come too close. You know, I was very nice and friendly, but, you know, I didn't bring you in here. Don't touch me. You know, I'm angry. The problem with that is that, you know, I was good. You know, if somebody had issues, I would go and I would sort it out. Because it was a strength, but I was angry, but I had no fruit. I didn't bring them close. And by the grace of the Lord just started working in me. And He changed me. But unfortunately, I changed myself very quickly into another type of tree. Said, I was the strongest tree in town. Alright, can you see? Big and red. Like me. Very quickly I fell back into pride. And the strength and the security of my own abilities. It's always been that this thing I set my mind to, that I do. Doesn't matter how hard I must work, how much time it takes, but if I set my mind to it, I'll do it. But I didn't play well with smaller trees. I had shade, a big shade, but it was far away still. I didn't have fruit, and if I had fruit, it was so far away from anybody that nobody could get it. You had to have a master's degree in tree climbing to get some fruit out of me, even though I had them. And that's sometimes how we are, isn't it? That we know our strengths, and that strength is what the Lord gives us. But then we start finding our identity in that strength. We know that this is what the Lord has given me, but we miss the picture. And by the grace of the Lord started working me, but I changed again, but I became another tree. I became Aaron John. I became the smartest tree in town. The thing was, as I experienced a lot of things. And I went through a lot of ordeals. And I was walking with the Lord now a while, and I feel, okay, I'm growing. But now I'm the smartest tree in the world, in the town at least. Now, just for a bit of background, they call that tree the Methuselah. They say is the oldest tree in the world, 4,765 years old. You know, I've got weeds in my garden that's taller than that. It took me 18 years to grow this high. It's taken that tree 4,765 years to grow there. The problem was, when I became the smartest tree in town, it was when I grew the least. Because I knew everything. I knew what the person wanted to tell me before he finished. I thought I knew what people wanted to say, instead of listening to them. I didn't get too many wrinkles though. But yeah, I could give advice, but I couldn't give compassion. And the thing is, if you look at that tree, it doesn't bear fruit. If it did bear fruit, it would be quite hard, I'm sure. It would be like, this is a butternut or something. And it doesn't have leaves. But what does the Lord say? What is the tree in Psalms 1? The type of tree, the Lord doesn't identify it. And I think to myself, but why doesn't he give the tree a name? But the problem is, when we ourselves identify ourselves with a certain character, that forms our fruit. If I am a thorn tree, all I'm going to give you is pila. What is that name of? Pods. It's all I can give. I'm going to say something, and I want you to listen very nicely, is that the person you think you are, it only lets you bear the fruit of that character. The person that you think you are is the only fruit you will bear. But the Lord doesn't give its identity to the tree. Because why? What does the Lord say? What does he say? What tree are you? And that we find in John 17 verse 20 to 23. The Lord says, I almost read Afrikaans. I do not pray for these alone, but for those also who shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And I have given them the glory which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. And in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. When we think we know who we are, we keep the Lord from using us powerfully. The Lord says, I am in you and you are in me. Therefore, the Lord is the tree. We find our identity in Christ. If we find our identity in anything else, we're limiting the Lord with what he can do with us. The only thing the Lord describes the tree with is his fruits. And we find that in the Word as well, that in Matthew 7 verse 16, the Lord says, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Our identity, the only identity we have in our tree is, except apart from the Lord, is the fruits. Remember, the Lord says that those who are in me, they will bear fruit. The interesting thing in Psalms 1 is that the Lord says that it brings forth fruit in its season. In the Afrikaans says, in its time. The thing is, if you only have pods, you can only give somebody pods. If I only had wisdom, I would give somebody only wisdom and not compassion. I couldn't give that person what they needed at the time they needed it, because I didn't have it. I couldn't be as Christ. So you give what you want instead of what the person needs sometimes. Because it's all you have to give. I said this in the Afrikaans service as well. Sia said, you know what it means when a pastor looks at his watch? Absolutely nothing. In Jeremiah 17 verse 8, the Lord says, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. It sends out its roots by the river, and it shall not fear when the heat comes, for its foliage shall be green, and he is not worried in the year of drought, nor will it cease from yielding fruit. The thing with standing next to the water is you will not cease yielding fruit. You are evergreen. And you will give fruit in its season, in its time, in the correct. You'll be able to give bread when he asks for bread and not a serpent. The Lord showed me an amazing thing a couple of months ago, and I've shared it with a couple of people, but they must bear with me this morning because I want to share it again. The Lord showed me a tree with fruit. And me and myself and I and what's all those words? How do you pronounce that? Anyway, friends, we walked and then we would pluck fruit from the tree. But we only plucked the fruit from the tree that we could reach. And that tree was the moral law. I was so quick to give that fruit, because it's easy. We Christians, the Lord says, the law is written in our hearts. It's easy for me to tell you, listen here, a Christian shouldn't do that. Or when you are a Christian, you should do this. It was easy. I mean, those fruits are low. And the Lord said to me, give high-hanging fruit. Now, climbing up a tree isn't easy. It takes effort. Giving high-hanging fruit is not easy. But those high, the fruit that is in the top of the tree, receives the most light. And that light is from the Lord. We didn't give grace. We didn't give the fruit of grace. Because it's effort. You know, the thing the Lord came to give us freely that none of us deserved was grace. But we withhold it from the saints around us, knowing that they should know what the Christian should do. And it is true. And just like the law is perfect in every form. But it's not sufficient to save. Low-hanging fruit is perfect in the way it is, but it's not sufficient. The high-hanging fruit gives you the everlasting factor. I told my small group, it's like when you have an argument with, say, for instance, your husband or your wife. For them to admit they're wrong isn't the end of it. You must forgive. You must. We must forgive. We must bless. That is what comes after it, and that is what is powerful. And now you're telling me, go to the next slide. Is that, all right, Ruan, I understand what you're telling me. And I've heard this thing about these fruits you need to have. But you know, Ruan, it's very nice and theological, and you know, it is in the Word and so, but you know what? I've been hurt. Ruan, you know, I trusted those people. You know, Ruan, I love that man. So much. You know, Ruan, my whole life fell apart when she walked out of that door. You tell me, Ruan, I've got experience. You know, I know people. That I lost my job because of their unrighteousness. I will fight for what is mine. I will protect what is in my heart. You know, Ruan, it's very nice and very theological, but you know, you don't know. And I want to give you the words of encouragement that you cannot not be planted next to the water of life. I'll explain myself just now. But the only way for you, the only place you can be, is next to the water of life. When we read Ezekiel 47 verse 12, it says, "And all trees for food shall go up by the torrent. On his bank, on this side and on that side. Its leaf shall not fade, nor its fruit fail. It will bear by its months, because its waters come from out of the sanctuary. And its fruit shall be for food, and its leaf shall be for healing." You know, the only sign that the tree is alive is that it has leaves on it. But all trees have big fruits, small fruits. A tree you only take out and burn, like the Word says, the vine that doesn't bear fruit is when it's dry and dead. There's no leaves. In Revelations, you know, when you say Revelations, people always think the comets are going to come down and burn, but it's not the only thing in Revelation. Listen to this. It says, in the midst of the street and of the river, from here and from there, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each yielding its fruit according to 1 month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. I'm telling you, if you can't be healed of your hurt, you can't be healed of mistrust, you can't be healed of bitterness, if you don't have leaves. And your leaves will come from the water of life. And you will not only receive healing, but you will give healing. You will give healing to those around you. I want to finish off with three statements. That might sound harsh. If you can go to the last slide, John. You cannot be planted next to the water of life and not grow. And growing isn't always flowers and birds. Sometimes it's long suffering. Sometimes growing is humility. But you can't tell me that I am in the Word, I find my identity in Christ, and I'm the same. I'm the same like I was before I got saved. I do the same things. I think the same things. I feel the same things. You can't tell me that you've known the Lord 30 years and you haven't changed since the day you've met Him. You can't be next to the water of life and not grow. The second thing is that you cannot stand next to the water of life and not have an influence on your family. If it's healing, if it's fruit. You know, I think to myself, when the Lord laid this on my heart, I thought to myself, Lord, please let my children be the fruit that falls from the tree and grows. Please don't let my children be eaten up by wild animals to come to know you. Don't let it be from my negligence that they don't know where they are planted. Grace to the Lord, and we praise Him for that He can use any situation for His good. But Lord, if it's in His will, I would like for my children to be fruit that fell from my tree. And the last one is, you cannot stand next to the water of life and not let the body of Christ grow. If you find your identity in Christ, you are a new creation. The Lord says He is preparing His bride. You cannot be next to the water of life and not be part of the bride. You know, it's sometimes difficult for us to imagine. You know, the Lord talks about a lot of things, but the Lord calls me His bride. You know, if I am a strong red tree, nobody's going to call me a lady. But if I find my identity in Christ, I want to be the bride of Christ. I want to be brought in front of Him and before Him in a blameless and holy, washed by the Word in front of the Lord. So I encourage you to to get planted. Is there somebody that can make music again? Oh. Everybody stand for me, please. I want to tell you today that it doesn't matter where you came from. If you fell from a tree, or if you were eaten up by animals, or if you came with the water of life, you must find where the Lord plants you. And you must stay next to the water of life so you can bear fruit. Not fruit just for others, for food, but leaves for healing. If you're not on that place where you see, where you tell me, Ruan, you know, I need to deal with certain things, that's fine, but you can't bear fruit if you're dead. You need to have leaves, and the leaves will bring you healing. You know, the thing about this is that we will never fail in Christ. And I want to, all of us, to just bow our heads and just close your eyes. I want to talk to two people this morning. I want to, first, those people that know, that listen, yeah, I don't know this water of life you're talking about. I have no idea what this tree is. What are the fruits you're talking about? Where can I find my healing? If you don't know the Lord, I implore you to come forward that we can pray for you. This mighty Savior, this healer, this bread of life, the life giver and the creator. The second group of people I want to talk to you are those that are struggling with their identity in Christ. Those who are the angriest trees in the land. Those who are the strongest or the wisest, it doesn't matter what type of tree you are. Those who struggle with their being the tree of life through the Lord. And I pray for you that feel you need the healing. That feel that your tree doesn't bear fruit in season. I want you to come forward so that we can pray for you. I'm gonna just pray for everybody, but I want, as I pray, those of you that need prayer to come forward. I'll just close off. Lord our God, our mighty, mighty Savior, Father, we just praise your name, Father, because you are worthy to be praised, Father. Your light is worthy to be shined all over, Father. And Father, grace us with this ability, Father, to be renewed by you, Father, to be formed by you and to be molded by you, Father, into this life-giving, substance-bearing fruit tree, Father. Father, grace us in this week, Father, that we know, Father, we can find our strength from you. We planted next to in you, Father, as the rock, Father, and we feed from you as from the water of life, Father. And we know, Father, no circumstance is too big, Father, for us. And there's nothing in your word, Father, that we cannot use, Father, to build and lift up and bring glory to your name, Father. Thank you, Father, that you just grace us with this ability to speak to you directly, Father, that Jesus Christ has died on the cross so we can have this intimate relationship with you, Father. Bless this day, Father, and help us, Father, to keep it for you, Father. To keep this day for you, that we may spend time with you more, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, Father. Amen. Okay, so those of you who need prayer, please.